biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
All righty, we continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. The speculation continues about the future of one Aaron Rodgers and potentially departing not only the Green Bay Packers, but also the NFC. And if he does that, you're then in one offseason, if the Packers do trade Aaron Rodgers, I think is very likely, you're going to have Tom Brady out of the NFC. And Aaron Rodgers out of the NFC, because the report from a few weeks ago was if the Packers do trade him, they would only take offers, they would only field offers from AFC teams. We'll see if that eventually does change, but that is at least the word right now. So you look at the future of the NFC, where compared to the AFC, like I ask you for the names in the AFC, you go Mahomes, you go Burrow, you go Allen, you go Herbert. You talk about Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson, since he's still with the Baltimore Ravens for now. Like, those are the big names in the AFC at the quarterback position. But in the NFC, they have a major, major, major identity problem and future faces of the NFC. Because the AFC is loaded right now with those quarterbacks, and quarterbacks are what's sexy, right? Leading the offense, that's what sells in the NFL. But you look in the NFC, right now, if let's say Rodgers does get traded, Hickey, I would say that Jalen Hurts is the biggest face in the NFC. Because there's one thing to be really damn good. And I know you need to see more longevity from Hurts, but he's only been a starter for 2 years, made the playoffs last year. People doubted him. Now he's 60 minutes away from winning a Super Bowl. But you look at the NFC, like if I tell you Dak Prescott, good quarterback, he's good. I wouldn't call him great. And also, he's not winning a Super Bowl anytime soon. You look around the rest of the NFC, maybe Trey Lance one day, but is he even going to be the starter next year? Like, I can't sit here and confidently tell you that. Maybe Brock Purdy starting for the Niners next year. But still, the story of the Niners is McCaffrey, Kittle. Like, those are the names you talk about when you talk about the Niners. Kyle Shanahan, the head football coach. Matthew Stafford, don't get me wrong, good player. Coming off injury, though, is he someone that I go as a face of the NFC? No. You think of McVay first when you talk about the Rams. It's not Kirk Cousins. You can't like Kirk Cousins in a big spot. Jared Goff, I don't even know how many more years he's going to be in Detroit. The NFC South, they don't have quarterbacks right now. You know who it could be down the road? Justin Fields, but the Bears never get a quarterback. But Justin Fields impressed a lot of people this year. So you look at it, and I think the Eagles are set up to succeed for a while now. You look at that team, you got A.J. Brown, you got Devontae Smith, you have Jalen Hurts. Defensively, you got to get a little bit younger, but you got Hassan Reddick. Is there going to be an eventual change with guys like Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham? Sure, that's coming, right? Even Brandon Graham basically said on this show he still wants to play, he just doesn't know if it's going to be in Philadelphia. You have Darius Big Play Slay. You, on the offensive line, I don't know when Kelce or Lane Johnson are going to hang it up, but they're still elite football players. They're getting older. But you got Mailata, who's an excellent left tackle. You got Dickerson, who made the Pro Bowl this year. He's a very good interior offensive lineman. So the Eagles should be set up. And I know it doesn't always work this year, where if you win the Super Bowl and they do, then it's all, they're going to go win it for the next, like, they're going to be in the conversation for the next 4 or 5 years. But they have a window with Jalen Hurts where you expect them to be really good year in and year out. I keep on saying this, Ryan, and I'll say it again. It seems like we're at a point that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens aren't going to get this deal done. And maybe they surprise everyone and gets the deal done this offseason. The NFC could really use a name and could really use a player like Lamar Jackson. Because there's not a lot of excitement here when you go through the quarterbacks in the NFC. I'll give you the quarterbacks right now, Hickey. You tell me excitement or no excitement. Jalen Hurts.
Excitement.
100%. Dak Prescott.
Can I go like in the middle? Like, eh. Like, there's some intrigue, but again, anytime it's a big moment, he never really plays that well.
He's good.
Solid.
He's not as good as what his contract is saying he is. He's not. The last 2 years, I know it's up against the 49ers. Those were winnable games. He crumbled. He failed. Daniel Jones?
A little less version, but eh.
I don't think you're looking at Daniel Jones winning a Super Bowl anytime soon.
No.
Forget the Commanders. The 49ers, like, it could one day be Trey Lance on what his ceiling is, but the guy hasn't played in 3 years.
And Brock Purdy's played 7 games, so same thing.
Geno Smith, good story. Let's see what it is next year. I don't think that's a long-term
fade in the second half, so it's even a little concern of how, you know, bright can a star be next year.
He played well in the playoff game. I'll give him credit. He played well in the playoff game up until the fumble. Then that entire game just got out of hand. Matthew Stafford?
Banged up.
And as much as I like Matthew Stafford, and you could root for Matthew Stafford, there's guys that win, and then they're like, there's marketable force. Does anyone really look at Matthew Stafford and is like, okay, that's one of the biggest names and a big face in the NFL? I don't.
It's like the reverse of Sirianni and Hurts, where Hurts is like the face of the Eagles. I would say
McVay.
Right,
is the face,
like,
of the Rams.
And then there's still notable names. It's still like, oh, we're still talking a lot about Nick Sirianni. We're still talking a lot about Matthew Stafford. But the Eagles, we're talking more Hurts. And with the Rams, I'm with you, talk more McVay.
And you're the biggest Matthew Stafford supporter I think there is here.
Very happy
CBS
for him
Sports
last
Radio.
Year. But that's, you look at that team and you think McVay first.
Kyler Murray has chance to be a video game-like player, but I don't like his attitude, and I don't know what he's going to be like coming off this injury.
Can't play well in the second half either. And obviously not going to be on the field for the first half of this year, but...
And be careful what you wish for. I know Cliff Kingsbury should not have been a head coach in the NFL, but now the Cliff Kingsbury excuse is out the window. The second half collapses, you're right. You can't just now look at Cliff. If that continues, shows you maybe Cliff was a little bit better than what we thought. It was more so on the quarterback.
Right.
Kirk Cousins, polarizing name. I don't think anyone's saying that he's a face in the NFL that you're really going to build a franchise with. You think of Justin Jefferson first.
Yes.
Dalvin Cook when you look at Minnesota. Jared Goff, I don't know how much longer he's going to be in Detroit. Jordan Love, you know, can you swoop in and go from Favre to Rodgers to Love? I think it's unlikely. Justin Fields, that's a good bet. But, Hickey, the Bears mess up every quarterback, it seems like. And I don't know what Eberflus and Poles are going to be as a head coach and a GM in this league.
A few possibilities. Jalen Hurts is the most accomplished and the most established, again, outside of Rodgers, if we're assuming he's going to get traded to the AFC. And it's like, you quickly look around, you're right. There is maybe some guys that could in like 3 or 4 years blossom.
You're forgetting. What about Kyle Trask and Desmond Ridder?
The NFC South.
Sam Darnold.
In of itself.
Oh my God.
Jameis Winston.
You know what's crazy?
Jake Luton. There's a name for you.
Barring a big quarterback getting traded to the NFC South, the NFC South is going to be worse next year. You lose Brady out of that division. Barring Jackson getting traded there or Aaron Rodgers getting traded there. Like, even if Jimmy G gets traded there, I don't know if Jimmy G can stay healthy.
What about Derek Carr if he goes to the Bucks? Their win total will probably be better. I don't think they're going to go 8-9 again.
I don't know about that.
I would say they'd be above 500 with Derek Carr.
Carr had all these weapons this past year, and he stunk. He was horrible this year.
Coaching was the defense.
And does Tampa Bay have this great coach? They got Todd Bowles.
I would agree with that. I would agree with Brady or not, he should have been fired.
I think Brady, and I know everyone said, "Oh, Brady had a bad year." Even though you don't throw a party for 8-9, but I think if you put Derek Carr there, I don't know if they're getting to 8 wins next year. Because how many years the Raiders fans say, "Oh, Derek Carr is nothing to throw to. Derek Carr is nothing." Derek Carr at times looks like he could be a top 10 quarterback. And whenever you say, yeah, he's a top 10 quarterback, he falls flat on his face. I'm trying to think right now. For next year, with what we know right now, would you agree with this? These are the five quarterbacks that you think are probably the faces of the NFC. Like, I have to take Kyler Murray out because I don't know when he's going to be healthy. But it's Jalen Hurts by far. And then after that, look at this wonderful list. Dak, in no order, Kirk, Matthew Stafford, and Justin Fields. Is anyone else deserving to be on that list that I did not put in there for next year with what we know now, assuming Rodgers is out the door? Those are the five biggest names, five biggest faces in the NFC.
Heading in, probably not. I think there's a chance he could play his way into that list would be Jared Goff. But I wouldn't say right now he should supplant any of the other four names you listed.
And don't get me wrong.
Going into the season.
Goff had a really good year this year. But I still think for a lot of people, there's that stench on Jared Goff for his performance in the Super Bowl. And the idea when he went to Detroit that he was never actually going to be their guy. I do think if you watch football this year, you could appreciate what Jared Goff did. But how many of those fans that are commenting actually sat down and watched a ton of Lions games this year? Like, I still don't think Jared Goff has the respect nationally for what he did this year with that Detroit offense.
Which is why I would say going into the year, no. But I think end of the year, if like we're talking end of the year, who are the five faces of the NFC after 2023? I think we'll be talking about Jared Goff as one of the five guys. Now, again, is that, you know, it's not the AFC where he's in a, you know, royal company, but still, I think it would be a nice accomplishment for him.
And you know what? Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins, you should be embarrassed, both of you. Because you had an open opportunity this year. And I know what the Eagles are doing is wonderful. And I get it, the 49ers have a great roster, but they were down to a third and then a fourth-string quarterback. For next year, I don't know who's playing at quarterback for the 49ers. You'd think the Eagles are right back in there, but the Cowboys and Vikings should be right back into that conversation. But is it just going to be you have these great regular seasons and then you throw up in a big spot in the playoffs? I'm not saying even go win the Super Bowl if you're both those quarterbacks. But you would think in the next, and I know Kirk's only under contract for 1 year, but let's say if, God forbid, Minnesota extended him again, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibilities because who would have thought they would have extended him this long? But you look at Dak and Kirk Cousins, like let's say if they're there the next 3 years in Dallas and in Minnesota, I don't want to hear any excuses if they don't get to a Super Bowl. Because as great as I think Jalen Hurts is and as great as I like this Eagles story, it's not like they're going to go to the Super Bowl each and every year. Like even Patrick Mahomes, he won a Super Bowl, went to a Super Bowl where he lost, then lost in the AFC title game, now back in the Super Bowl. And that's Patrick Mahomes, who's like the standard right now in the NFL. In a tougher conference, too. Like you look at the NFC, Kirk Cousins and Dak, I'm not telling you I expect them to get there. I have zero confidence in them. But it's really slim pickings in the NFC. Until some big name also joins that conference.
Next 3 years, what is your confidence that either one of those guys even just get to an NFC title game? Forget Super Bowl. Like, you're talking about that, and I would agree it's a failure because you look around and we're talking about some of the quarterbacks we are. With that said, like, I can't sit here and say, like, well, oh, Dak will be in an NFC title game or the Vikings, Kirk Cousins could win two games in the playoffs. I can't even tell you that.
25% maybe? Because, like, the Cowboys were close this year. Close but no cigar. You thought they were going to get blown out against the 49ers. Dak had a legit chance to win that game. They probably should have won the game if we're being honest. You had the two picks. Then you had Turpin, who joined us, not bouncing away from the kicker. Like, they had every chance to win that game. So do you get a play or two to finally go your way and you get to an NFC title game? Yes, potentially. Kirk Cousins, his script is you could win one playoff game and then you lose one. Or this year, you didn't even win one against a Giant team that, don't get me wrong, had a really good season. But you had a lot more talent than that Minnesota Vikings team, and they went into your house and they dominated the game. They took control of that game. Like, I bet the Vikings, and early on, I'm like, oh, after going up 7-0, when the Giants answered back, after that, the Giants were in control of that game all throughout.
And that's why I want to ask the question. Like, I can't even sit here, like, forget Super Bowl. I can't even sit here and say that either will be in an NFC title game the next 3 years, just because you ask them to string together two good playoff performances.
Think about this.
Cowboys have the talent, can never come up with a big moment with the right play. Kirk is Kirk in the playoffs. Can't do it.
Couldn't even get the ball. You had the false start by Darisaw on 4th-and-1, 2.
But that's just a part of it.
And the Giants,
like,
are in the same 4th-and-short scenario, and they converted. That was the big difference in the game.
You see the playoffs where small things really, you know, rear their ugly heads with Kirk Cousins.
But who are you intimidated by in the NFC? Yeah, that's what makes this even more embarrassing.
But I trust other teams right now figure it out and capitalize compared to Dallas and Kirk. It's like the definition of insanity.
You're not wrong in what you're saying, but who else do you trust in the NFC? The Eagles
and the Giants and the 49ers? So who knows? Yeah. Maybe the Panthers come out of nowhere next year.
Or maybe you don't get to make that prediction again.
Maybe the Falcons with Desmond Ridder are like, you know, a spunky 10-7. Next thing you know, they're going into Big D and taking down Dak Prescott.
What are you sipping on during this break? What were you sipping on?
I mean,
on?
Who saw the Giants winning, what did they get, 10 wins this year?
One man and one man only. Kevin Wall.
Oh,
I know, right? No one knows who Kevin Wall is, but I got to give him credit.
Does he believe it, or is he one of those guys? This is the only thing I don't know.
Giants are 9-7-1, by the way.
9-7-1.
They did get 10 wins in the playoffs.
Does Kevin Wall, is he one of those fans that says, no matter if you're 2-14, this team is going to be great next year?
Like
they're
going to
be
Colts?
A playoff team. No one's giving them respect.
Like you with the Colts?
So I had reason to believe, and I was not alone in my belief of them winning the division. And at one point last year, after you go into Arizona with no offensive lineman, could they be a dark horse Super Bowl team? I don't think it was crazy to say yes.
Who are you picking to win the AFC South this year? I'm picking the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I am picking the Jaguars.
I'll believe that when I
but
see it in September.
Everyone last year was picking the Colts with me. I wasn't on an island coming off a team with a bad talent. Kevin Wall could have been right and saw it coming. I'm
but
just
it
saying,
took you forever to jump off that ship.
Is Kevin
it
Wall a
took
fan?
You forever.
Yes, it did.
To walk the plank.
Is Kevin
I
Wall
tried
a
to
fan?
Warn you to walk the plank. You wouldn't do it with me.
Where he says, this is our year every year. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Now, Kevin Wall, I remember this conversation because I kind of laughed at him. He said the schedule was very easy. He looked at, he goes, tell me I'm wrong. And I go, okay, yeah, you have a decent point, but why should I have any trust in your organization? When they were the laughing stock of the league the last 5 years.
And Kevin Wall was really the only one laughing to the bank after that one.
Yeah.
So congrats to Kevin Wall. Maybe we'll have a Falcons fan call up and say, this is the year for the Falcons, 10-7. And then everyone laughs at him. And then we're sitting here this time last year. Wow, what a great year for the Falcons.
But you did have some people believing in the Vikings. Like when you look at this year, look at the after effect, the aftermath of the Giants beating the Vikings. People then thought it was going to be a close game between the Giants and the Eagles, and that wasn't even close. It shows you how fraudulent the Vikings were. Like, even though we were saying the Vikings are fraudulent, they're fraudulent, to get pretty much manhandled where the Giants controlled that game, even though it doesn't reflect that way in the scoreboard, and then people are like, oh, the Giants are maybe actually a lot better than what we thought. Then they go in Philadelphia, they get destroyed. It shows you that I think a lot of the public thought a little bit higher on the Vikings than what we did.
I picked Minnesota to win that game against the Giants, so I believed in Kirk at least for one playoff game.
Yeah, so did I.
Let me down there. Thanks. Thanks for nothing.
And you know what I say? When Hickey and I both pick the same team, fade, 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 go the other way. Vernon Davis will join us next.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. This is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We inch closer and closer to Super Bowl 57. And now joining us here is a Super Bowl 50 champion. He played tight end for many years in the National Football League. And Vernon Davis is here today on behalf of Smirnoff and the cocktail coordinator. Vernon, great to see you as always. How you been?
Good, good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
But I appreciate you coming on. I got to start you off with your Niners. It was an unfortunate ending to their season in Philadelphia. You have the Brock Purdy injury, but everyone wants to know next year, and maybe Purdy's going to be out 6 months. You got the future of Trey Lance. Just what are your thoughts on the future of their quarterback position?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, everyone's asking because they have three outstanding quarterbacks that we know of, and we don't know what's going to happen, but I believe that the San Francisco 49ers should give Trey Lance an opportunity to get back to where he was, because this guy has a lot of upside. He's going to feel like he's going to prove everybody wrong. He's going to show that he's continuing to evolve. And this time that he has away from the game, it's going to allow him to be even better as a quarterback and a leader.
That's a fascinating point, because he basically hasn't played consistently for the last three seasons, because he didn't play his final year in college because of COVID, barely played his rookie season, unfortunately got hurt this year. What really makes you believe that he'll be better with this time kind of on the sidelines and being away from the game and watching it from a different view?
Well, when I go back to when I was a young guy, when I first came into the NFL, and my first injury that first year, and I was able to step away. I wasn't playing exactly the way I was supposed to be playing, and the media and everyone around started calling me a bust. It was like, oh, he's not going to live up to his expectations. But during that time when I was injured, I had a chance to see everything that was going on, everything that I was doing wrong. I grew. I wanted to seek information. I wanted to get better as a player, and I challenged myself. And I knew that if I did it, getting to where I think I should have been, then it wasn't going to work out for me. That's how I programmed myself. And as a player, I think as a competitor, you think that way. You always think that the next man behind you is going to move in front of you if you don't do your job. You have this faith and you know that you're going to do your job, but there's always that on your mind. It's like the good guy and the bad guy here, right? And I think that's a great thing, because it allows you to be better when you go back out there, because you have something to prove. You want to show everybody that, hey, I can do this. And you learn a thing or two from watching. Observing can be the best teacher, you know, because you observe and you watch the next man in front of you or the guy that's behind you when you're down, and you know that the only way for you to come back up is to prove everyone wrong and show them that you can play this game at the highest level possible. So I believe that Trey Lance has that in his DNA, and I think that he's going to be one of those guys to come back with a vengeance and show the 49ers organization as well as the rest of the NFL that he has what it takes to be that dynamic quarterback.
Was there any part of you, Vernon Davis, yesterday when you see the Brady announcement that he retired, a little bit disappointed? Because there were some rumors that Brady maybe wanted to go to the 49ers, and maybe there could have been some mutual interest there.
You know what? I was a little upset, because I was thinking, I'll say, hey, if Brady goes over there, I'm going to go join George Kittle. I'm going to see what I got. Love to play with the GOAT. Let's go.
Do you think you could still play?
Oh, come on, man. I tried myself the other day. I have a son that's 15 years old. He's always challenging me. I have to be better than him. He can't outperform me. And I tell him that all the time. He's playing tight end at the Mather Senior High School. You're going to hear about him this year. He's going into the 10th grade. but he's always challenging me. So I got to go out there. I got to be able to run routes. I got to be able to run, you know. So when I'm working out, I work out 5 days a week. I'm always doing the things that I did when I was playing football. Not necessarily using the heavy weight that I used to use, but I'm sprinting, pushing sleds, and I'm just making sure that I can stay dynamic.
Merton Davis here with us. We'll talk about Smirnoff in just a second. So we all know your brother, Vontae, also played in the NFL. You have this Super Bowl. You have Travis Kelce going up against Jason Kelce. Can you even imagine what they're going through? You got two brothers going up against one another in 2 weeks in the Super Bowl.
Yes, like, who do you root for? If I'm there, the mom or dad, I'm like, gosh, what do we do? Oh, I have a good idea. I just thought about this. Maybe they wear half of the jersey is Kansas City, right?
And the other half is Philadelphia. She already has that jersey, the mother. Donna Kelce already has that jersey. She's a veteran. She's ready to go. But this tight end matchup, though, it is fascinating because we all know what Travis Kelce has done for the last few years. But Dallas Goedert, other than we had to miss a few games because he got hurt, he was on pace to have a masterful season. What do you think about this tight end matchup with Travis Kelce and Dallas Goedert?
Yeah, I think Dallas is he's a good tight end. I think he's very, very reliable, accountable. He's going to be everywhere he needs to be. I mean, especially in this game, you have to be. Yeah, the mindset has to be different. And I know that he's going to be that for the team. But Travis Kelce's in a whole other league of his own. He's been around for a while. He has experience. He's been doing this. He's been to playoff games. He's been to Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. And he's one of the best tight ends to do it, in my opinion, so far. I mean, he just has to keep on trucking. I think he's top five in touchdowns all overall. And it's gonna be a showdown. It's gonna be great.
For you, you look back at your two Super Bowl experiences. We all remember when you were with the 49ers and unfortunately lost up against the Ravens, and then you got traded to Denver. And I know Frank Gore says, oh, you didn't really win that Super Bowl, but you did with the Broncos. How do you look back at those two experiences?
I'm about to get Frank Gore a call and tell him about his business.
He still brings that up to you, right?
Yeah, I hope he's listening. But he's funny. We're always giving each other a hard time. But I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be able to win a Super Bowl before I decided to hang it up. And it's hard, it's few and far between, because there's been guys that has played this game that's for years and never even won a Super Bowl. And I think Tequil Spikes is one of them, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it's just hard. It's tough. So to be able to walk away with the ring is a beautiful thing, and to win it with a great group of guys. I mean, that locker room in Denver was truly amazing. Peyton Manning, DeMarcus Ware, two of the most beautiful human beings I've ever seen. And Peyton's probably going to text me. If he hears me talking about him, he's going to text me. He texted me about a couple months ago. I said something beautiful about him. He said, oh, Vern, thank you for your photos. I hear his voice. I was worried about you.
I can't remember. Did they get you in the Manning cast yet? They got to get you the Manning cast, right?
I got to get on the Manning cast. Maybe after my movie comes out, I'll go in there and talk about it.
What's the movie you got coming out?
It's a movie with Morgan Freeman and I. It's come out between now and March. I'm waiting on it. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. I play a serial killer from South Africa. My name is Andoku.
What's that experience like? How do you recap that?
Man, I had anxiety after that. It was crazy. I mean, it's just because, you know, as a trained actor, you're trained to live realistically in that moment. So for me, I'm thinking that I'm actually doing these killings. So after I got done with the movie, I'm like, came home and I was like, wow, I need to find a therapist. It was tough.
Wow.
But it's cool though. It's cool. The journey is cool. You get to learn a lot about yourself. You get to meet wonderful people like Morgan and Cole Hauser, spend time with them. It was beautiful. I feel like I'm living in two different worlds right now. You know, I went from football to now I'm doing this and other things. It's pretty cool, man. I'm really grateful and honored.
Tell me, Vernon Davis, what you're doing today on behalf of Smirnoff and the cocktail coordinator.
Look, I'm letting you guys, this is all about the cocktail coordinator, best job in America. We're flying them down privately. They're going to spend time with me on Radio Row, and we've been excited about this because there's only one left. you know, it's one remained out of all of the contestants that we had. And to be a cocktail coordinator, you have to bring your very best, just like anything else. You have to come with it. And the individual that we identified is unbelievable. So I'm happy, excited about that. It's going to be epic. I can't wait. It's going to be truly amazing.
I know you got to run, but early Super Bowl prediction, you going with the Eagles or you going with the Chiefs?
Going with the Eagles.
How about that? That's Jalen Hurts has been a great story this year. I love rooting for him.
Yeah, he's talented. He's truly talented.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I thought that was a fascinating point that Vernon Davis made with us, that even though Trey Lance hasn't really played in 3 years consistently, where his last year at college was pretty much wiped away besides one game because of COVID, last year didn't really get much of an opportunity in year one, and then this year was supposed to be the starter, and then unfortunately quickly has the injury and was not able to return. So his point was, because of his upside, he still believes in him, and he thinks actually, even though you don't want to see anyone get injured, but when you're away from the field, you get to see things from a different angle, things are slowed down, and he's actually going to benefit from that this upcoming year. And let's also be real. And I know what Brock Purdy did was special this year. And Brock Purdy in the NFL in that small sample size of 7 games or so has done a lot more than anything that Trey Lance has done. And just because you are a first-round pick, a third overall pick, the Niners traded up all that capital to go get you, doesn't mean that you're going to be super-duper successful in this league. Baker Mayfield was a number one overall pick. I don't know what his NFL future is. Carson Wentz was a number two overall pick. Doesn't look like he has much of a future. Sam Darnold, just recent memory, a third overall pick. Doesn't have much NFL future. So for Trey Lance, just because you're number three overall, doesn't mean that you're going to be a stud, but I just don't know what to expect out of him, because either he's not been given the opportunity, or when given the opportunity, just stinks of the circumstance that he gets hurt. However, if this was Trey Lance, where let's say it was Jimmy G was there, which he was, and there was no scenario where Jimmy G to start this year was given the opportunity to, there's no scenario for Trey Lance given the opportunity to be the starter. I do feel like the narrative or the conversation, Hickey, is different, because how many times do people say, be patient with the young quarterback, let him sit on the sideline? And that kind of happened in year one, but then in year two, he was given that opportunity to start, unfortunately gets hurt early on, and now it's like, oh, all that's out the window because someone else came in and looked really damn good, who was the third string quarterback and did more than what Trey Lance has been able to do. But if, let's just say, they never gave the baton to Trey Lance and that was Jimmy G and Jimmy G never got hurt this year, it would have been okay. He was in the NFL for 2 years, Trey Lance. He was sitting, learning, and waiting, and now this is go time. But that time clock already started to get ticking because he was given that opportunity to start. So I get Vernon Davis's point. And I actually, which I would not have said this before the NFC title game, but because of the injury and now the uncertainty on when you're going to get Brock Purdy back, like he'll be back in August, I do think that this is set up for Trey Lance to get every opportunity to show the reason why the 49ers drafted you is still the player that he could be. And he does have, I think, the upper hand to win this competition already just because of the way that the Brock Purdy situation did unfold in that NFC title game.
I'm really excited for Trey Lance this season because, look, not to take anything away from what Brock Purdy accomplished, but it wasn't like we're watching him each and every week and saying and marveling and dazzling what he's able to do physically. It's like he's Patrick Mahomes or he's making these impossible throws because he's a freak of nature.
But he didn't lose.
No, he didn't lose. But I'm saying he just basically ran the system. That was all he did. He just operated the system. And I think if you're Trey Lance, maybe you're feeling because of where you picked and you're feeling, you know, I got to come in here and show right away why I'm the man. I think there's a chance when you kind of see what Vernon Davis is talking about of watching, forget Jimmy G, watching Brock Purdy come in and get all the success just by keeping it simple. Like if you're Trey Lance with more, you know, with better physical attributes, with a stronger arm, more mobility, you should, if you just keep it simple, be able to take what Brock Purdy did and make it even better.
You would think. You would think,
right. Obviously, logically, you would
think. We've now had this conversation since the draft where all you hear about Trey Lance is the ceiling, the ceiling, the ceiling, the ceiling. Eventually, you got to touch the roof. Eventually, you got to show me something tangible. Now, you could argue how much of a chance has he had to do that so far. Year one, not really much. And then year two, you get the injury that makes him miss the entire season. But all I hear about, that's the one thing that concerns me about Trey Lance. And I think the world of him. I interviewed him once. And I was so impressed when we had that conversation with him back when he was in North Dakota State. And this was before even people were talking about him in the draft. Like, we had him on a year before all that draft conversation. And I was very impressed with him. But fair or not, how much did we really get to see of him in North Dakota State? Not much. I know he had an incredible season. But then the next year, unfortunately, because of COVID, it wiped him out the entire year. And so far in the NFL, there's nothing tangibly I could hold on to where I go, wow, Trey Lance is going to be this stud, other than people just telling me his potential is potential is potential. And I hate to be harsh here, but someone once told me, a wise man once told me, potential means you haven't done it yet. And if he doesn't show you some signs next year or give you something tangible to latch onto next year, I don't want to hear about this guy's potential. I don't want to hear about his ceiling. And whether, however you want to look at it, he has every opportunity this offseason, Hickey. And I would imagine the 49ers want him to win the job. Because ego plays a role in this. Like, they didn't just draft him. There's one thing when you one-off draft someone, and that was just your regular draft pick. They moved mountains to go get this guy. And I'll just be fascinated to see at the end of next football season, do we talk about Trey Lance and say, wow, Trey Lance is the guy that a lot of people thought he could be coming out of college? Or is Trey Lance the guy that the Niners are already thinking about moving off from?
I'll say it's more the former. I think this is a guy that's going to play well,
I
come
hope
in.
Right.
Keep it simple, because again, I think when you see how this offense is run with also the pieces around him, you don't have to do a lot. Like, it's, I do think that, you know, if you are able and you come in just realizing, all right, just let everyone else make the plays around me, and you kind of almost act like a point guard, it makes life so much easier for a guy, like I said, who hasn't played more than three games in a season in 3 years.
Now, that's also assuming another thing. And I know this is the nature you could play this, the nature of the beast, you could do this with any team. Christian McCaffrey was healthy down the stretch. I know he had he didn't miss any games, though. You look at Deebo Samuel, at the end of the season, got banged up, but was able to return for the postseason run. Kittle, healthy. Watch Trey Lance will then be healthy and finally be ready to go, but then you miss a piece like a Christian McCaffrey or something like that, or Deebo has some time. I just think it's asking a lot, even with the 49ers being in such an advantageous situation, for everything to come together. And next year, if it does come together, that team should be a Super Bowl team. Because we talked about earlier in this hour, the NFC does not have many teams that you trust. And I do think people trust the 49ers roster. I don't think people trust the 49ers quarterback position. And I think that's been the case for the last few years. Now, I'll give you some names here. We know Purdy's in the competition. We know Trey Lance is in the competition. Other names. First off, let me ask you this, and I think you'll be in agreement here. It's right to move on from Jimmy G. It's right to just say he's going to go somewhere else. We're done. It's either got to be Purdy or it's got to be Lance next year. I have no desire to see Jimmy G once again in a 49ers uniform.
Without a doubt, it's time to go.
I'll give you two other names. I think you're going to laugh at the first one, but there is a connection there. I'm not saying this guy's going in to be the starter, but do you think Matt Ryan will be in that quarterback room next year?
No.
Why not?
I don't think he's going somewhere. He's going to be a third-string quarterback.
Well, where is he going?
That's a fair question. I'm not sure. I think they try to go to a place where he could, at bare minimum, compete. I mean, I'm not sure if he's even going to be back in the NFL in general.
He wants to play.
But, I mean, who wants him, though? Like, I mean, you're going to go to Carolina? Like, you want to pair up with Frank Reich again? I don't think so.
Yeah, I would say no. Won't be.
There's not a lot of
landing
spots where he can go.
The NFC South, other than, I don't think you're going back to Atlanta at this rate.
No.
And none of those jobs. I don't think the Bucs would offer you.
You're going to your arch rival.
Well, I think he could do that, right? Brett Favre went to the Vikings.
I get it, but
it happens. Late in your career. Happens. I think people understand it. You know, Drew Bledsoe played for the Bills. Yeah, things like that happen. NFC North.
I guess you could go to the Cardinals. You know, play there for half a year. Maybe a full year if Kyler's slow.
And you're in a dome, too.
You are?
It's not bad, actually.
Arizona, nice retirement weather.
But, like, Matt Ryan's got to be realistic. I know he wants to start. He's not a starter anymore in the year of 2023.
If he's being realistic, then don't go anywhere and stay with the Colts. Like, if you're going to just stay there and just be a mentor, I just keep him under contract. If I'm Indy and say, all right, mentor whoever they draft. So I've sent him to San Francisco for basically for free and have him mentor both quarterbacks. Like, that's basically, I'm with you. He's probably going to have to be that role as a mentor more than a player.
How many years do you have left on that contract? One.
Next year.
Is there any dead cap money to it? Do you know?
Yes.
Is significant or no?
I got to look. It's like 18 or 20, something like that.
Oh, okay. So that's not like.
It's not $5 million.
I know we look at dead cap now differently, but that's, you know, that's something that teams could easily trim. Yeah, it's $18 million in dead cap. I could see Shanahan, if he becomes available, I could see Shanahan bringing him in. I don't think the plan is to bring him in to start. But it would not, like, if there's a complication with Brock Purdy and he's going to be out longer, Trey Lance doesn't perform well, a lot of it's trust and who you know in the NFL. And it would not shock me if Matt Ryan is a backup quarterback for the Niners. Now, I'll give you one that I just wonder if it's worth it. If, let's say, Shanahan's not all that bought in and he had to be convinced to draft Trey Lance and he has his questions, is Derek Carr a destination for the Niners? Assuming he gets released, is that a destination for Derek Carr to wind up in San Francisco? Carr should want to go there, but would the Niners want him?
I would say no. I believe him when he says he's content with the two quarterbacks. Because I think right now with the system you have, it's kind of built around having a cheap quarterback. And even if Derek Carr, you can negotiate your own deal, and if he wants to go there, I don't think he's going to be taking, you know, close to a rookie-level deal to go play in San Francisco.
Also, I don't think Derek Carr has the upside that makes you say, okay, we have to go bend over backwards to go bring in Derek Carr from the Niners. I would rather run with the unknown and the ceiling that you keep on hearing about Trey Lance than going to Derek Carr.
Not to diminish his career, but even like what Brock, you saw in the small sample size of what Brock Purdy's able to accomplish, like, is Derek Carr going to be that much better and that much more consistent for
probably not
10 times the price? Like, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think it's worth it.
No. Like, I don't know what Brock Purdy's going to be over the course of a full season. That's also the great unknown.
Also fair. But I really try to find out. Then I guess throw it all away for Derek Carr.
I think Lance is starting week one next year. You?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Funny how that works, because leading into the NFC title game, we're both like, oh, it's Brock Purdy. It's his team. Then injuries happen. We'll come on back. We'll do a little scripted or unscripted in a fun conversation that's happening around the internet these days.